put your trust in God as the foundation for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Stop seeking a storm-free life and start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness through the blood of Jesus, and all these things will be added to you. Welcome once again to Think Like a Champion, a podcast dedicated to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. We're going to get right back into our content. We are on our third part of how to deal with the storms of life. I'd love to hear any questions you might have. Email us, message us, social media, message us in any way, connect with us, and let me have your questions. I'd love to answer some of those. But we're talking about how to deal with the storms of life. We know storms are going to come, and we know storms are coming. We know we've been through them already. We know we might be going through one right now. These are the steps to follow when you're in a storm, and before even the storm hits, expect them. We talked about that. Remember, presence is more powerful than performance, so it's all about who's with you in the storm, not you performing perfectly through the storm, but knowing that Jesus' presence is with you in the storm. We talked about recognizing that wisdom does not lie in avoiding storms, but in preparing for them. And we also learned that we have to believe in weapons failure. There is going to be a weapons failure of the enemy's weapons. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. So there are going to be weapons formed against us, but there's going to be a weapons failure. So expect the weapons failure. Same way we expect storms to come, we need to expect weapons failure, that Satan's weapons formed against us are going to fail. They're not going to reach their intended destination ultimately. They might hurt you, but they're not going to defeat you. They might hit you, but they're not going to destroy you. They will not succeed. We also learned about understanding the purpose of trials, and it reveals our faith, and it reveals where our trust is, and it reveals what we put our joy in, and gives us an opportunity to reset. Next thing I want you to do is really learn to follow the step of rejecting simplistic theology. This is something that we really have to be careful of. We don't have it all figured out. That's why trusting God is the safest, greatest source of happiness in life, because there are going to be many seasons of our lives we don't understand. We can't explain it. We have to reject simplistic theology. Job's story, we talked about on a couple podcasts already, Job's story warns us against a simplistic theology of rewards and punishment. Job's friends were rebuking Job because they were saying, there must be sin in your life or this storm would have never hit you. Satan would have never come against you in this way. They are living, their mindset was a simplistic theology. I'm not saying that Christianity and theology needs to be complicated. What I'm saying is we need to avoid incorrect theology is really more important. Reject incorrect theology and reject being dismissive of people. They were being dismissive of Job. His friends were like, you know what, you better repent, Job, because that's why these bad things are happening to you. This is incorrect theology, a simplistic theology that I don't think we should embrace. We should reject it. The reward and punishment theology, that everything in life is either a reward or a punishment. That's not true. There are rewards in following certain universal truths, and there are punishments for not following universal truths. But not everything is a curse or a blessing. Not everything is you get cursed because you're disobedient and you get blessed because you're obedient. We're redeemed from the curse through the blood of Jesus, first of all, and we have the right to the blessings of God through the blood of Jesus. But we are not excused from trials in life through the blood of Jesus. We're not excused from the trials in life, but we are empowered with the victory in the midst of the storms of life. You see, real life and God's work in our lives is far more complex than just, you know, telling somebody there must be something bad that you're doing and that's why this bad thing is happening. That's not true. There may be something bad that a person's doing, but that's not why they're going through a trial. That's not why. Life is not that simplistic. If we could get a hold that God's word assures us, God's word promises us that God will deliver us and we will rise again. And no matter how defeated we feel or how many trials we go through, we will make it to the other side. God promises we will make it to the other side. He told the disciples, let's go to the other side. Before the storm hit, he said where they were going. When the storm hit, he was sleeping because he already said where they're going. They did wake him up. He did rebuke the storm. He did calm the sea. But he also told them, why do you guys have such little faith? I already told you we're going to the other side. I already told you, plant a seed and it will produce a harvest. Jesus is very patient with us. And there are some things that are very simple. But when we become dismissive of people because we are judging them as, oh, this is going bad in their life because they're doing something wrong, they're sinning in their life, we have to stop being the moral police officers of everybody else in our lives. We have to have empathy, that powerful healing feeling, that healing emotion that tells us we're not alone. God has empathy for us. He tells us we're not alone. When somebody is going through a trial that you're not necessarily going through, you can offer them empathy. You can offer them this powerful feeling that they're not alone by just saying, you know what? I don't have any of the answers. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why this is happening, but you're not alone. You know what? You can count on me. To listen, to talk, to pray, that's empathy. What Job's friends said to him was, what's wrong with you? You should be repenting, you should be getting up, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. They weren't in the same situation. Don't always know what it's like on the other side. We don't always know what another person's going through. I can tell you this, God tells us in Isaiah 42, he says, God does not call, he does not brush aside the bruised and the hurt. He does not disregard the small and the insignificant, but he steadily and firmly sets things right. Jesus is the greatest force of compassion because he is compassion. God is love. If we could reject this belief that there's always something wrong in my life and that's why something's always going wrong in my life, we have to stop living like that. And we have to be more trusting. We have to trust God more and stop needing an answer to everything, but have trust through everything. Our answer to everything is trust. Our answer to everything is praising God. Our answer to everything is humility and gratitude, humility and gratitude, humility and gratitude. Focus on those things as the foundation for your life and faith as the foundation for your life, which is my next step that I want to encourage you when you're going through trials. How do we deal with the trials of life, the storms of life? Focus on the foundation. Shift your focus from the storm itself and shift your focus to the foundation. The foundation is not necessarily material, but it's relational, rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the favor of God in our lives. Listen, we have to focus on our foundation, the foundation of faith, the foundation of trust, foundation of joy and praise anyway. Shift your focus from the storm, shift it to the foundation. And if your foundation is weak, strengthen it. If your foundation is broken, repair it. It's a foundation of faith. It's a foundation of trust. How do we build faith? Our faith is in the promises of God. Our faith is in the finished work of Jesus. Put your trust in God as the foundation for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Stop seeking a storm-free life and start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness through the blood of Jesus, and all these things will be added to you. It doesn't mean we're going to understand everything, and it doesn't mean we have to be dismissive of everything. We don't need to remain ignorant, but we can't be all-knowing either. In between there, like find in that spectrum between being all-knowing and whatever the other one was, just trust. You don't remain in total ignorance, and don't claim you have that you're all-knowing. Live in the spectrum of trust. I know some things, but I don't know everything. But I can trust God, even in the things I don't know. The next step in dealing with the trials of life is to embrace transparency. Embrace transparency with God. Well, Job did that in his challenge to his friends, theology. He shows us the value of transparency. He is not afraid to admit, I'm going through the worst time of my life. He's not afraid to be honest with God. God gives us permission to express our confusion and our sorrow. I think that's the winning formula right there. God gives us permission. Permission has been granted to you to express your confusion and your sorrow to God. Permission to express it. Like, we think God wants us to stuff it all down, stuff down our confusion, stuff down our sorrow. Job learned to express it to God. David learned to express it to God. Solomon learned to express it to God. Jesus is the greatest model of expressing his sorrow to God. If this cup can pass from me, let it pass, Father. But then he continued, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus shows us his human emotion there. He shows us his human desire. He doesn't want to go through with it, but he chooses to go through with it. He doesn't feel like going through with it, but he chooses to go through with it. That's even more powerful. Like, what if he just could go through life and not feel any bad things? That sacrifice wouldn't have been enough for us. It's that he felt our sorrow. He felt our anxiety. He felt our feelings, and he did it anyway. He felt like walking away from the cross, but he went to the cross anyway. He gave himself permission to express his sorrow to God. Give yourself permission to express your confusion and sorrow to God. In Job and David, Solomon, and especially Jesus, we're encouraged to articulate our doubts, to articulate our pain. We're encouraged to. Isaiah, like I said, reminds us that God supports the weary and the bruised. We're encouraged to keep our focus on God, who is at work setting things right. Boy, I wish we could get a hold of this. Job conveys confusion and sorrow, disillusionment. David's shares it in Psalm 13. If we have time, we'll get to that. But when we feel shocked because of a trial we're going through, or we feel God is absent or God is disinterested, we are invited to speak openly and truly with God. Not only is God, listen, when you feel shocked and you feel like God is absent or doesn't care, tell him. Wouldn't transparency be more therapeutic than acting like you're going to be tough and you're going to be strong and you're not going to ever tell God that you're confused or that you feel bad about something? Imagine a child never being able to tell their parent that they feel bad about something. You think God is less qualified to be a father in your time of confusion and sorrow? I don't want my kids, when they were growing up, I didn't want them stuffing their feelings down. I wanted them to tell me, what are they experiencing? What are they feeling? What's going on? What's wrong? I didn't always have the right answer, didn't always have the right response. But I tried to create an environment where they could be transparent. God wants us to know in him, in our relationship with him, we're safe. We can be transparent with him. He made you. He knows you. He is not threatened by your transparency. He's not threatened by your doubts. He's not threatened. Your doubts don't knock him off the throne. Your sorrow doesn't knock him off the throne. Tell him. The Bible says, run to him. Come to the throne of his grace. Come and be honest. I'm struggling with this one, Father. I don't know what to do with this one. I'm really confused about this, Jesus. I don't feel like I have any faith. Why not at least locate yourself by transparency? And once you locate yourself through transparency, then rebuild your faith on what Jesus did. Rebuild your faith on God. Redirect your faith in a God who is good. Redirect your faith in a God who's okay with you being honest with him. Psalm 13 says, how long, O Lord? This is David being transparent and honest with God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? I mean, you can see sarcasm here. You can see negativity here. You can see doubt here. You can see God is being blamed. How long, O Lord, are you going to forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You think David is saying this with a smile? You think David is writing this? How long will you forget me forever? You think he's singing a song to this? There's no, I don't think this one has a melody. This one is just raw honesty. Help, God, how long are you going to hide your face from me? How long do I have to take counsel to my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, Lord. Enlighten my eyes, or else I'm sleeping the sleep of death. I'm not going to interpret this as suicidal, but if it's not, it's getting close. David's having some really dark thoughts. I need you to open my eyes, Lord, or else I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. My enemy is going to overcome me and say, I've overcome him. And my adversaries are going to rejoice when I'm shaken. He's honest. The first four verses are all about transparency, transparency, transparency. What if we did this? Then we could get to verse 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. But my heart will rejoice in your salvation. But I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You see, all of this is in the same chapter. It's in the same psalm. In David's heart, he needs to be honest and have and give himself permission to complain to God. Listen, we complain to so many other people. Why don't we just go directly to God about it? We tell everybody else what's hurting us, what's bothering us. They can't even do anything about it. God can do something about it, and we're trying to act like we're in perfect condition because we don't want to look bad in his eyes. He doesn't see you like that. He sees you as one of his children. He doesn't see you as bad. He doesn't see you as having to be perfect and having to put on a smile when you don't have one. I know that I've said smile anyway at times too, there's a time and a place for that. But there's also a time and a place to be transparent with God. And then we can rebuild our faith on trusting God and on the goodness of God. David said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, he would have despaired. He would have given up. He would have quit unless he believed he would see the goodness of God. Be honest with God, but then tell him you're trusting him to show you his goodness. And he will. It's better than trying to pretend that you have it all together. Rebuild your faith on God's promises. Rebuild your faith on patience. Love is patient. Patience. God has been patient with you. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Have empathy. You know, if we want to find our way through the storms of life, we have to realize there are others passing through those storms too. And maybe there's some others that need our empathy and our compassion, and that maybe we need to give them that undeniable healing feeling that they're not alone. I pray that God gives you that feeling through somebody, by His Holy Spirit, through God sending the right person at the right time across your path. And I pray that you would be the right person at the right time across somebody else's path. You know, I really believe that God is with me in the toughest times. I know He's with me in the good times, but it's in my flaws, in my shortcomings, in my weaknesses, in my broken journey, in the broken chapters of my journey. It's those moments that His presence is most cherished by me, because I know that He sees my weakness. He even sees this bad decision I've made, and He's with me still. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's how good God is. And rebuild your faith on the goodness of God, and your faith will get you through any storm in this life. Well, thank you for joining me. We're out of time today on Think Like a Champion. Please share this. Please subscribe if you haven't done it. And please pay it forward. Take a moment right now. We like to take a moment and give people an opportunity to give. You can make a tax-deductible donation. We're not making our way to get our message out. The way we pay our bills is not by YouTube subscriptions and by advertising, but it's by the generosity of people like yourself. So go to lifechangerschurch.com/give, lifechangerschurch.com/give. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for sowing. Thank you for being a part of this community of champions. I can't wait to see you on our next Think Like a Champion podcast. God bless.